Okay, Genesis 37. Genesis 37. And if you've been following the readings we've been putting out since the beginning of the year, the Bible in a Year readings with the commentary and thoughts accompanying that from Nicky Gumbel, you'd have read this passage earlier on in the week. And it's about Joseph. And let me read a few verses. Genesis 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He was the youngest brother, remember? And he said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." How to make friends and influence people with your brothers, particularly being the youngest. And his brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I've had another dream. This time the sun and moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." And when he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. It was a great dream. It's a fantastic dream. It was an amazing dream. I've had this dream. I've seen these sheaves of corn. And mine's the only one that stands and everybody else's bows down, and that includes you. That would really go down well, wouldn't it? Wow. Great dream. And actually, the outworking of that dream we see later on in Joseph's life. So it comes to fulfillment. It is a dream from God. And it's to do with the future of a nation, and indeed nations surrounding the nation, particularly of Egypt, and the nation of God's people as well. But Joseph, in his youthful enthusiasm and zeal and vigor and excitement, blurts it out. Sometimes, how many of us know that when we get something from God, sometimes it's wise to wait a moment or two, consider these things, do what the psalmist says, Selah, think of these, just take a few moments before perhaps we share it and blurt it all out. But he's got this incredible enthusiasm. And then, of course, we know that his brothers were really quite peeved with him, very jealous of him, as Scripture says, and get the opportunity to sell him into slavery into Egypt. And which they do. They concoct this story. They go and tell their father that, "Oh, we think Joseph's been mauled by some wild beast. Here's his coat. It's covered in blood." And his father's devastated. And of course, Joseph gets sold into slavery. He serves an Egyptian master, gets promoted in the household, does really, really well. And then he's falsely accused by the master's wife of rape. Ends up being thrown in prison. While he's in prison, he finds himself alongside two guys who were both formerly in the employ of Pharaoh. And both of them not knowing quite what their outcome's going to be. And these two guys, while they're in prison, and again, Joseph is highly favored of God, even in prison, and has some responsibilities in there. And while these two guys are in prison, these two of Pharaoh's former servants, they both have dreams. And they share these dreams with Joseph, and Joseph says, "Oh, I know what this means." So one of them, he says, "Actually, great news, good news, you are going to get out of prison and you're going to be reappointed into your place serving Pharaoh. You're going to get back, you're going to get your old job back." And he turns to the other one, "Bad news, I'm sorry for you. You are not going to be promoted. In fact, you are going to be executed." And over the next few days, Joseph's interpretation proves to be correct. And one of them gets killed, and the other one gets reappointed into the household of Pharaoh and serving Pharaoh. A couple of years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And his dream is a strange dream. And he can't get his head around it, and he sees cattle getting fat, and then cattle eating cattle, and he sees ears of corn getting fat, and then other ears of corn that are really wizened, and he can't understand it. What's it all mean? He gathers his wise men together. He said, I've had this dream. I'm sure it means something. I'm sure it's got some importance. Can you tell me what it means? And he brings all the wisest guys, the wise guys of Egypt. And he brings, thank you for one of you smiling anyway, brings them all in. And none of them can explain the dream. And then the guy who's been in prison with Joseph and had a dream interpreted said, actually, Pharaoh, a couple of years ago when I was in prison, I met this guy. He's called Joseph. I reckon he can interpret your dream. So they call Joseph, of course, out of prison, and they bring him, well, they clean him up firstly, and then they put new clothes on him because it's no good going in your prison gear to see the Pharaoh. And so they clean him up, bring him in. And Pharaoh says to him, you know, I hear you can interpret dreams. Well, this is what I've dreamed. And Joseph says, well, hang on a minute. And if you were reading the notes that go along with the story that we've been reading, the notes during the week, you'll see what Nicky Gumbel has written there. And Joseph says, he says, no, I can't do it. I can't do that. But God will give the Pharaoh the answer he desires. We see, and this is Nicky Gumbel's comments, we see how Joseph has grown in wisdom. The self-confidence and swagger of his youth have been replaced by a reliance on God. He acts here with an extraordinary mixture of humility and confidence. Two qualities that do not often go together. Humility and confidence, not always bedfellows. This is the humility and confidence we need when faced with challenges of life. I can't, but God can and will. You know, we've been hearing about people perhaps today feeling a bit broken, feeling a bit challenged. Maybe dreams that have not been fulfilled yet. And things that have been forgotten. We've been encouraged, some of us, to pick up things again. It's time to pick things up again. And here Joseph has got this opportunity, if you will, his get out of jail free card, to interpret this incredible dream. But he makes this statement. He said, actually, I can't do it. But God can and will. And I think in all the encouragement to pick things up and do things, there is a recognition, actually, there needs to be a recognition with each one of us to fulfill what we've been called to do, that we can't do it. But actually, God can and will if we put ourselves completely in his hands. And there's the key, isn't it? It's trusting in him completely. I was reading some further notes on this, and this was written in 2005, and it's reflections in a journal that it was called What Unites Us, and it was looking at the church, the broader church in the UK, What Unites Us, and it was picking up on some of the things of disunity and challenge across the church, and it makes these comments. Christian disunity hurts. Churches suffer from their inability to be united as one family. They suffer from rivalry, from histories of combativeness. And then they sort of liken it with this story. It says, when Joseph shares his dream with his brothers, they react with anger and violence, as the dream implies they must bow down before him. Sometimes that's been the case in our nation, hasn't it? Where churches have felt that one group or one denomination has tried to force the issues with regard to church. And of course in Egypt they were ultimately were going to bow down, but it was only under the timing of God that those things were going to happen. But before that happened, there was incredible grace and reconciliation. If you follow the story of Joseph through, you see this incredible moment of grace. You know, and sometimes when we go through tough things, we learn some tough lessons, and we learn about the grace of God. And when Kelly was just sharing her story a moment ago, that's the grace of God on your life to go through that sort of stuff and to have that sort of mindset. That's the grace of God, where perhaps people around can't fully compute and work it all out. And you say, actually, I've just got a peace about it. That's the grace of God. And I believe God wants us to walk in his grace more and more, and to walk with that sense of confidence that he can do stuff in the midst of challenge. And if you think about Joseph, he had a dream. He had an amazing dream. But I believe God's got an amazing dream as well. God's got an amazing dream as well. And I think it's revealed to us by Jesus in John chapter 17, where he prays this incredible prayer that we often refer to as his high priestly prayer. And he prays some words that will be well known to many of you. In John 17, verse 20, he says, "My prayer is not for them alone." That's just, not just for the disciples around me right now, but it's also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. People yet to come. "That all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be one, so the world may know that you have sent me." Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was being interviewed, I believe it was at the Leadership Conference down in London last May, and some of you I know were there. And he's being interviewed, and he was being interviewed on this whole subject of unity in the church, and unity across denominations, and unity with brothers and sisters, and the challenge of it. And he made this incredible statement. He said, "We cannot live for our cause to win. We have to live for his cause to win." Let me say that again. "We cannot live for our cause to win. We have to live for his cause to win." You know, and when we're about his cause, the cause of Jesus Christ, denomination barriers start to break down. Friendships and relationships and reconciliation are the thing that come to the fore again. And the great thing about that is where God sees that measure of unity reestablished, he says, linking in with the series that we're talking about, "I'm going to command my blessing." How many of you know when God commands something, it happens? When God spoke, creation came into being. He didn't do, he spoke. And when he commands blessing over our lives, it happens. That's what God wants to do. And I've shared this before. When I came back to Northeast Lincolnshire with Anne-Marie and the family, 21 years ago is now, January 95. And it seems like, yes, no it doesn't. Seems a long time ago. But I found myself asking the Lord, "Lord, if I'm to go back to my hometown area," this is where I was brought up. I was living in Cheshire at the time. "Lord, what is it that you want me to be involved with?" And there were a number of things, but one of them was this: to see increased unity across the body of Christ in Grimsby, Cleethorpes, and Immingham and the surrounding area. We weren't called North East Lincolnshire then. It was the year before the boundary changes. And I thought actually the boundary changes in 1996 were a real sign of, you know, something coming together. That was for me. I don't know anybody else. This whole thing about increased unity across the body of Christ. Because I believe that that is what the Lord still wants to see, increased unity. And this I've shared before, I'll share it again. In March of that year, 1995, I was praying one Monday morning, and I like to think I had nodded off. I like to think I had a vision and not a dream, because 21 years ago I was young. Still am to a degree. But I had this vision. And in this vision was a picture of a boardroom, like you would get in at the top of a company, if you like. And so there was a big board table in this boardroom, and either side of the boardroom were people sat. And I knew who those people were. I didn't know their names. I couldn't identify them particularly, but I knew they were all church leaders sat either side of this long board table. And each one of them, in front of them, had a piece of paper. And the things that they were doing, "This is what we're doing. And they all got their little pieces of paper. This is what we hope to see, etc., etc. And the next one had theirs and theirs, either side of the table. And then the door opened, and Jesus walked into the room. And underneath his arm, he had rolled up one of those big architect's blueprints, and he walked in with it. And he walked to the end of the table, and he put that roll right at the head of the table. And I sort of came out my vision, but I knew what was going to happen. He was going to do that, and that roll was going to roll right down the table. All those church leaders would sit back as it rolled back, and all those bits of paper would get covered over to allow the blueprint of Jesus for his church to be unfolded. Each of those pieces of paper, in my youthful enthusiasm and with that vision, I thought it meant God was just going to blast all those pieces of paper out the water. But actually, as time has gone on, and what I believe is happening, is God is melding those pieces of paper into the blueprint as it unrolls. You see, each of those churches, if we think about Northeast Lincolnshire right now, and a lot of different churches, all with their own distinctives, all with their different styles, all with their different emphases, all with their different mandates, I would say, to serve in different ways the community, the area around and beyond. So I don't believe we are all called to be the same. I believe but just look around the room today. Thank God you're not all called to be the same. You are not all called to look like me. Why you wouldn't want to be is another story, but see, we're all different. We've all got different gifts and characteristics, strengths. And I believe it's important. You know, we often think about the body of Christ, don't we, in a local church context. And we say that God has placed us where he wants us to be, fitly joined together. And each one of us plays our part, which is what we've been encouraged about this morning. Then the thing becomes a wonderful thing. Each one is important. You know, Paul says, one can't say to the other, I don't need you. Each one in the room is important. And I think as we look at the wider scene and the churches across our area, we cannot say to any one church in this area, we don't need you. Actually, with what God wants to do in this area, the blessing of God he wants to bring in and through his church is when we acknowledge one another, that we have our different styles, different emphases, different distinctives, but yet as we sit together and work together and serve together and honour one another, I think it's so important that we honour one another, then God says, actually, I can breathe on that with my spirit and do some amazing things in Northeast Lincolnshire. It's a great blessing this morning to know that we can play our part and do our bit. You know, we've got Andy and Irene out serving this morning at King's Church. We've got Brian, who's now regularly taking responsibility out at Immingham. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to resource and stand with and serve with in very practical ways the churches round about. Unity attracts God's commanded blessing. Right at the very beginning of the year, I shared about the prayer of Jabez. I really felt it was important for this year. We prayed into that for 3 days of prayer and fasting that first week of the year. Let me just read the passage that we focused on from 1 Chronicles 4. It says, now Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez cried out to the Lord God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted him his request. And that first Sunday of the year, I prayed for us. And I prayed that God would graciously bless our lives in 2016. I prayed that we would have story after story of God's influence growing in and through our lives as individuals and as a church. I prayed that we would have stories of God's anointing on us as individuals and as a church, that we could do what God's called us to do and be who God's called us to be. And I pray that we would have a growing recognition throughout the year that the gracious hand of the Lord was on us. And that, Lord, you would protect us and bring blessing to those who are in pain. The big key that we looked at on that first Sunday was Jabez was an honourable man. And I just, for a few moments this morning, just felt that, you know, with what we've been hearing, some of the encouragement that we've been hearing this morning about people who may feel a bit broken, who perhaps got dreams that seem a bit dashed, but actually, it's not the end of the story. It is not the end of the story yet. And if we will keep honouring the Lord, if we will keep honouring one another, if we will keep honouring the church of Jesus Christ, those of other churches and denominations round about us, then God, in his grace and his mercy, will bless us, will do things for us and through us that I think we'll be able to write a book by the end of 2016. And I just felt, rather than just going to the subject I was going to do this morning, is just to encourage us again to keep honouring the Lord, honouring one another, honouring the church. I don't know whether you're with me on this, because I believe that, you know, we've got a great mandate as a local church to do the things that we can do, but there are loads of things we can't do. I look at the Anglican Church, they've got an incredible opportunity and responsibility to speak at a civic level that we will never have. And we want to pray God's blessing on that. There are things, there are mandates on churches across our area. And we are part of it with our mandate. So I'm going to invite the musicians to come back. I don't know where we go with this exactly. Because this is totally not what I was going to do. Close your eyes a moment. Lord, we sang a song earlier that when we don't know what to do, our eyes are fixed on you. Well, here we are. Lord, but I believe you have been saying things to us throughout our time together. And Lord, I pray that in my few cobbled together thoughts that, Lord, in the midst of all that, in the midst of what was shared earlier, that, Lord, you would look on us and look on our hearts today. Lord, we really, really do want to be honourable. Honouring of you, honouring of your church, honouring of those around about us. And, Lord, in the midst of that, we would cry again the prayer of Jabez. Lord, would you bless us? Would you, Lord, increase our influence, our borders? Lord, would you protect us? Lord, across your church in this area, I want to pray blessing on your church today. I want to pray blessing across the denominations who are lifting up the name of Jesus, who are declaring that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by him. Lord, and I pray, Father, that your blessing will be upon them as each one of those churches lays hold of the mandate that you put on them, fulfills it with the empowering of your Holy Spirit. And the Lord, together we would find more and more we are fitly joined together for your purposes in our day and generation. Lord, help us to see who we are in that. That, Lord, as Joseph of old, in his wisdom of his later years, suddenly realized, actually, Lord, I can't do it. But Lord, you can do it. So I'll stand. I'll stand. I'll stand and say, Lord, would you do it by your grace in and through my life? And maybe the people here, if we were hearing earlier, that you just know that you need to take hold of that mandate that's been on your life, that dream that God gave you, things that maybe seem to have, in your thoughts, passed you by. God says, no, 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 no. There is a time. Just as there was with Joseph, it was many years later. He went through all sorts of challenges and disappointments, but ultimately, the fulfillment of those dreams were part of the saving of a nation. And so, Lord, we don't want to miss the things that you have for us as individuals or as a church. And so if you're with me today and you say, actually, I want to fulfill my mandate, and maybe you feel you've been carrying it and you're still carrying it, and that's great. Or maybe you feel today, actually, I actually need to pick it up again. If you're ready to carry the mandate that God has for you and that God has for us as corporate church, would you stand with me right here and now? Lord, we want to play our part. We want to do what you've called us to do. We want to be who you've called us to be. Lord, we want to bring total honor to you in it all. And let your blessing be released and flow through as your church for the honor and glory of your name.